Ladies and gentlemen, it is a pleasure to welcome back to the Soleri Report Scott Tipps, who's the president of the National Health Federation. They publish Health Freedom News. I'm a member. Scott's joined us before to discuss Codex, and I was inspired by his latest update on Codex to get him back, but we have many, many things to talk about. If you're not a member of the National Health Federation or a reader of Health Freedom News, it's one of the most useful publications I've ever received. I've been a member for quite a while, and I recommend it to you. So we'll get Scott at the end of the interview to tell you how to sign up, but this is access to great people, great network, great information, and they're doing great things. So you're going to get a very big bang for your buck when you support the Scott and the NHF. So Scott, welcome, and thank you. You're in Europe. I'm going to be in Europe shortly. So thank you for taking the time to come in. I know how busy your schedule is.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on your program again. And it's always a pleasure. And you always ask such interesting questions that always seem to challenge. So I have to be prepared. So.
Well, you know, one of the things that I find amazing is, because you're one of my heroes, if you look at what you've done over many, many years to try and protect us from the phenomena called Codex. It's just, I'll say to our mutual friends, I don't know how he does it, but you've joined us for an interview on Codex before, but maybe if you could talk a little bit about what is Codex and what is the history of NHF really standing in the breach and protecting us from this?
Well, Codex Alimentarius is that international body that really is formulating and constructing and then issuing food standards and guidelines that are then adopted by its various member states. And at this point in time, this covers 99% of the world's population. And what they do is they have any number of standards. It could be something as innocuous as, you know, how much cadmium will there be allowed to be as a level, maximum permitted level in chocolate or cacao, or it could be something more kind of more insidious, where they set the upper maximum limits for permitted limits for vitamins and minerals. So they have their fingers in many different pies, and the National Health Federation, the organization that I'm president of, is been fortunate enough to become accredited by Codex to attend the meetings and participate actively, and in fact actually aggressively if you talk to any of them, in these meetings and try to eliminate or at least reduce the number of toxins and contaminants in our food at the same time that we make our foods, or we try to make our foods more nutritionally dense, you know, increase the levels of vitamins and minerals and other nutrients in the foods and in the supplements that we can take. And that's essentially what we do at these meetings. And we are constantly challenging the science, because there's a lot of fake science out there that is being used either by industry or by governments. A lot of times you can't tell the difference, but just really bad junk science that is used to justify lowering the vitamin and mineral levels in our foods and increasing the toxins and contaminants in our foods that are allowed. Now, the reason Codex is important is because it governs international food trade. So once you get a standard adopted at Codex, then the whole world is the territory for these companies, and they can export that food to every other country, and that country cannot stop it. And if it does try to stop it, then the offended, and I say that with quote marks around it, the offended country can take that blocking country to an arbitration panel at the World Trade Organization and file a trade dispute, under a trade dispute, and force them to the blocking country to accept the product, even if it's unhealthy for the population or for any population.
Scott, the Russians have, come out very heavily against GMOs. Mm. So are the Russians a member of CODEX?
Yes, they are. And they used to not be active. When I first started attending CODEX meetings in the year 2000, you wouldn't see a Russian around to save your life. But now they go to almost all the meetings that NHF goes to, and they are have become quite vocal. You know, there was a language barrier problem at first because the Russians really didn't speak English or French or Spanish that well. Those were the three official languages of CODEX. But now that they've expanded the official languages to include Arabic, Chinese, and Russian, they tend to be much more vocal. And they do most of the time argue against contaminants, against toxins and the like. On the vitamin issue, they haven't been that good. For example, on this last CODEX meeting, the Nutrition Committee meeting that took place in Hamburg last December 2016, they didn't speak out in favor of higher levels of vitamin D. They did not speak... Oh, I take that back. They did speak out in favor of higher levels of vitamin E, but they didn't push it. And at CODEX, you have to be pushy to get your
right
way or even have a chance of getting your way. You have to be what I call persistently vocal. And unfortunately, a lot of these kind of bureaucrats are not, even the good ones, are not that persistently vocal on their issues, on the issues that count. So this has been a concern. But yes, it's a good question to ask because the Russians are one of the few delegations there that are pretty consistently but not completely pushing a good nutrition for their population.
Who else is good?
Believe it or not, Iran is pretty good.
Right.
Yeah, I probably won't earn any kudos from some of your listeners for saying that, but they speak out a lot of times on good issues. In favor of good issues. And in fact, it was kind of funny because I had spoken out on one issue, the vitamin E issue, where I criticized at that same committee, at the commission meeting that we just had a couple of weeks ago in Geneva, Switzerland. And I had really heavily criticized the whole commission for setting vitamin E levels, the daily amount, at 13.5 international units a day, and told them what a joke it was and that it was a stain on CODEX and the like. And then later, 2 days later, when I was going to the front to give my integrity speech to the commission, the Iranian delegate stopped me on the way there and said, "I am offended. I am offended that you said what you did 2 days ago." And it was actually quite funny. And I said to him, "Look, you're one of the few delegations here that actually is interested in people's health, so it wasn't oriented towards you. However, you could have spoken out in favor of vitamin E." So,
is there, besides the Russians and the Iranians, is there anyone else?
India from time to time. South Africa used to be good, but no longer. And we lost one of our best supporters with South Africa due to some controlled opposition group work that took her out, unfortunately. And let's see, whom else? The European Union, actually, believe it or not, is quite good on toxins and contaminant issues. They're lousy on vitamin issues. In fact, they threw us under the bus on vitamin D levels and vitamin E levels. They didn't even support their own science. They just caved like a cheap drunk on a Saturday night binge, and they went with the lowest possible value for vitamin D and vitamin E. So I don't have a lot of respect for them in those issues, but when it comes to the protecting their population on contaminants, they are actually quite good.
Now, you just sent out a new update, which is one of the inspirations for this conversation.
Yes.
Maybe if you could walk us through that update and what's recently happened.
Well, that was the, it's called the Codex Alimentarius Commission. It's the parent body, of course, for Codex. And then there are various committees that are underneath it because the commission itself cannot do all of the work. But the commission does meet once a year, and they meet either, they alternate. So they'll meet in Geneva or they'll meet in Rome, and usually in July, sometimes the end of June. And this year it was the time to meet in Geneva, which is where the World Health Organization is headquartered. In Rome, when they meet there, it's in the Food and Agriculture Organization building. But this year it was WHO's turn. Why WHO, FAO? It's because they provide most of the funding for the Codex Alimentarius Commission. So they have this little arrangement. In any event, at the meeting that was just held the 3rd week of July, the issues came up of the vitamin D and vitamin E levels, where the commission's expected to rubber stamp whatever the committee below has done, in this case the nutrition committee. And so it came up, and we were hoping to stop it because they were setting vitamin D at 5 to 15 micrograms per day, which is roughly 200 to 600 international units per day, which is abysmally low. Even Health Canada sets the daily value at 1,000 units a day. And then with vitamin E, they were refusing to recognize that it is a vitamin E complex, that you really need to look at, four tocopherols and four tocotrienols. It's no longer what people thought it was, back in the 50s and 60s, just all about alpha tocopherol, that science has moved on. Well, unfortunately, Codex science has not caught up with the late 20th century, and it's still stuck in the mid-20th century, and they think alpha tocopherol is where the game is played there. So just looking at that, they want to set the level at 9 milligrams, which is only 13.5 international units. Why? Since I was 17 years old, I've been taking 400 international units a day. Not, it's far above 13.5. And this is something that is really quite disturbing, and which led to my pretty much tongue lashing of the commission when I got a chance to speak there the end of the very first day. And so
I dare say if you'd been taking 13.5 a day all that time, you wouldn't. There's no way you would have had the physical strength to fight Codex.
Hey, maybe that's the clever
Absolutely.
fox, clever madness behind their strategy. Maybe they want us all to be so weak that we cannot resist them. Actually, I think that is a large part of it, let alone the fertility part. But the yes, they don't want us to be strong enough to fight them. And vitamin E has been so clearly shown to be, for heart health,
Right.
and the longer you've been taking vitamin E, the lower your chance of getting a heart attack becomes. So there was a recent study that came out that showed that people who've been taking it for 20, 30 years have a lower heart attack risk than those who have just only recently started to take it.
Very interesting. That's just the kind of thing I read. I love Health Freedom News when it comes in. It's one of the ones I always stop and read. You're the ones who really got me mega dosing and understanding vitamin D, which has made a huge difference. Although Jason Bowden Smith always says, "I want you out in the sun more," but you can
Well,
always get
there are
out
some
more in the
factors you
sun.
get from the sun, of course, you won't get from the pill. And
Right.
also it's so nice to get out and not have plastic shoes or even leather shoes on and just ground yourself in the earth's
Right.
magnetic energy that way, especially
Right.
if you're usually working in a tall office building or the like. And I know where you live, you have the opportunity to go out and do just that. And
yeah, and I do it every day. I just kick off my shoes and walk around and
so
look at,
smart.
Yeah, check in on the roses and the trees and everything.
That is so smart. And
yeah.
So at the Codex meeting, yes, we had that, and so we lost on the vitamin E and the vitamin D issue, but we still have the opportunity at the Nutrition Committee coming up in Berlin this December to take a stab at one of them again, and quite honestly, I've forgotten which one is still up for consideration. See, the way it works is there's an eight-step process for these standards to be approved, and they go through the committee, and then at two of those stages, the commission looks in on the committee's work and says, yes, you're doing fine. We approve it for the next step. And so one of them is at step 5/8, and the other one was at step 8. And so the step 8 one was approved, and there's no more discussion. But the step 5 one, there will be some discussion. And I apologize. I've just mixed up which one is up, and I'll just have to look it up and see, but either vitamin D or vitamin E will be up for discussion and nutrition.
This is why sovereign government money is so important, and the ability to issue sovereign bonds with almost impunity, because when you set up very detailed, complex processes like this, the people who have the money can wear everybody else down. So,
yes.
Yeah, and
that's really a very good point. And
yeah.
I think you may remember we had Thomas Sowell's Sowell's quote there, the free market economist, who said, if you really want to understand bureaucracy, then you have to know that for bureaucrats, procedure is everything and the outcome is nothing.
Right.
And that is exactly a very exact description of Codex. And the procedure, they follow procedure like it is the Ten Commandments handed down from the Mount. And
right.
This is for them, their Bible. And it doesn't matter if garbage in, garbage out, just as long as they follow the procedure, they are perfectly fine with it.
Right. Well, but if you look at the people who are financing the process, they're very goal-oriented. And one of the ways they get, one of the ways you get a small group of people getting an anti-human goal and getting humans to implement it is you set up a complex process, and then the only person who gets financing is someone who adopts the attitude you're describing. They're procedure oriented. And so over long periods of time, if you wear everybody down and keep financing the horses that are willing to take it in your direction, you can end up with some unbelievably, efficiently implemented anti-human goals.
That's very well put, Catherine. I think you're absolutely right on that. And it certainly would describe Codex even better, I think.
But that's why it's so remarkable that you guys have been able to hang in there and fight them all the way. So, just bringing transparency to what's going on because you're in the room, and then challenging them, challenging the fake science, challenging the fake news, and constantly representing the human point of view, I think is unbelievably invaluable.
Well, thank you for that. And it sure is a lonely thing. I mean, I eat a lot of lunches at these Codex meetings all by myself. So I'm not, winning any fan club votes or anything of that sort there, but
well, sure, nobody wants to, it's so much easier to do if no one is bringing up reality.
True, yes, that's very well put.
Right.
It is. If no one's bringing that up, then they all play act along and with themselves, and they have, nice little meet and greet kind of events and stuff like that, but really, it's so funny because some of these delegates, when I first started, were so anti-supplements, just using that as an example again, that when I would go to lunch and they'd see me pull out my little plastic baggie of supplements to take or to start taking, they'd turn up their noses and the like. But you know what's so funny is after a few years, they were taking them themselves. and they were asking for them, and some couldn't even get them in their country. So
right.
I would take supplements to the meetings and then hand them to them or to their colleagues to take across the border, because if you mailed them to them, they would get blocked by the post office. And so it was just night and day. And they would be asking for nutritional advice and the like. And
right.
It was amazing. The only problem is that, you know, this is my 18th year of going to Codex meetings, and a lot of the faces have changed. And so people I've converted to our way of thinking, or at least more in that direction, are gone now, or else they aren't at all the meetings. You know, the Chilean delegate who so ardently spoke out at the Nutrition Committee in Hamburg last December in support of a much higher level of vitamin D, well, at the commission meeting, it was a different person there, and they didn't even know about the previous, intervention by their colleague at the other committee. And you know, we tried to alert them to it, but it was too little too late, unfortunately.
Right.
And so they were silent on the issue. So anyway, the point is you're looking at a ever-changing landscape of faces that come and go. And so as hard as we work to convince some delegates, and we've been quite successful in many cases, not all, but many, then they retire or they leave, they get a job somewhere else, and we have to start all over again.
Right. If they're for, you know, mega dosing vitamin D, it's remarkable the speed at which jobs become available to hire them away. I'll never forget. I was talking to a mayor of a town in California who had been voted out of office and then miraculously got a offer to do her dream job from none other than Harvard in South America. And she'd been opposing a big real estate project. And I said to her, well, wait a minute, was Harvard Endowment an investor? But, you know, you could see they clearly wanted to get her out of town. And they're very good and very subtle at always, you know, I always say to people, I'm going to bless you because we're going to do this, and then they're going to show up and buy you away. So I'm sure you've gotten more than a few people bought away.
Well, okay, well, I haven't had any job offers yet. I guess they figure they can't, they can't bribe me that way. But it is funny. If you get, you know, the people you really don't have to worry about, or you least have to worry about, are those who are very well grounded in principles of freedom. And
right.
those kind of people are very tough to corrupt. It's the
right.
ones who don't have grounding in principles of freedom and morality, who are really easy to corrupt or swing the wrong way and the like.
Right.
So I really prefer to deal with people who really know what, you know, basic principles of freedom and interplay with other humans and the like will be or should be. And so but in any event, it's interesting what you said about that, though, with offering jobs and they then move away from either Codex or whatever it is they're doing good things in.
Right. There's always a you always want to make it look subtle. It's what I've found. So you have a new article in the New Health Freedom News called "Supplements Are Safer Than Food, But Bankers Disagree," and
right.
you go into some of the other. It's true, Codex is moving against supplements, but we also see enormous fake news moving against supplements and all sorts of different efforts behind the scene to squeeze the supplement business. Maybe if you could just walk us through some of what you said, I thought it was fascinating.
Well, thank you. It's really, in this case, in this particular article, talked about the merchant accounts. And you know, we all know that having a merchant account is absolutely critical for online stores and even brick-and-mortar stores. And so usually before a store can even open its doors or a website, it has to first open a merchant account, you know, if it's going to accept a debit card or a credit card. And so what we've observed through the years, what NHF and others have observed, is that with supplement companies, a large number of them are getting their accounts closed. And what and the way it usually works is like this. So they get a call, and they're told that, you know, their legal department of whatever bank or merchant account provider is there has reviewed their website. And there are some questionable claims on the website that that are just not allowed by the merchant account agreement that they have with them. So they're having to shut them down and not allow them to accept cards anymore. Or if you're opening a new business, they just won't, and you then apply for a merchant account, then the bank refuses it up front because it's considered to be a dangerous and fraud-ridden business that you were in. So here we have a supplement business that's ranked in the same, you know, it's really absurd, but it's ranked in the same category as these other businesses such as porn sites and, you know, 1-800 type chat sites and risque women's lingerie, you know, that sort of thing, because we all know that, you know, supplements are just very, very much in that category. So what they're doing is they're backdooring this attack, so to speak, on supplements and getting them, making them less available and making them more expensive to get. And it's really dangerous because a lot of dietary supplement businesses cannot afford to fight the merchant accounts on this. But there are, fortunately, the free market still prevails a little bit in this area. So there are some merchant account providers who will provide services, almost no questions asked, to these online businesses, but, you know, it comes at a higher cost. And so then that cost is passed on to you and me in the form of what we have to pay for it.
What we've seen over the last two or three years is more and more examples when somebody's doing something that the anti-human team doesn't want. They'll shut off their payment gateway, or, you know, we've seen a tremendous number of people get shut off by Facebook and Google in various ways, including the ads. It's one of the reasons I've never, I would never do business or do anything with Google or Facebook. And it was interesting after the election, after the change of the year, one independent media outlet told me I was the only independent media person they know hadn't suffered a drop in revenues. And that's because I never, you know, I never built that up and I never built up the overhead associated with it.
Interesting. Oh, that's very interesting.
Well, I've been having a problem because we're launching a new website and I've been, we've been reviewing payment gateways and it's the same problem. They keep, if you look at who their bank is, I just keep saying, you know, sorry, we're not going to use that. So, but
well,
it's,
I should talk to you then about what ones we should use for NHF because we want to avoid that same kind of vulnerability that you were indicating as a, you know, problem there. So, but it is something that business owners need to be careful of, and even some good clients of mine, you know, I do food and drug law, and some good clients of mine have had issues with merchant accounts like that, and they'd been doing business with the bank for 10 years or more in some cases, and or longer in some cases, and yet the banks are suddenly, but not surprisingly, taking this hardline approach where they're actually acting as regulatory agencies, non-governmental regulatory agencies, and that's not their role. They should not be in that role.
Right. It's, but, you know, it's funny. I always make, I try and get all of our subscribers to watch the Aaron Rousseau interview with InfoWars before Aaron died, where he talks about the Rockefeller, one of the Rockefellers telling him that they wanted everyone to have a chip and then have digital currency, so if you didn't behave, you could turn off their money. But if you look at all these different processes, that's exactly what they're building.
Yeah, that is.
So,
That is
right, it's
very
exactly
much
what they're
so.
building. Right.
Yeah.
And
So it's a problem. I think it will get worse, Catherine, over time, and they'll find other approaches. You know, there are other ways to do it as well. You may recall that many years ago, back in the 80s, actually, the one approach before the internet days, one approach was the bill was introduced by Representative Claude Pepper of Florida, Democratic representative from, I believe, South Florida, to actually prohibit the interstate shipment by the post office of vitamin and mineral supplements
Oh, I
and
didn't know
dietary
that.
supplements. Yes, and he introduced it, and at the time, of course, the both houses were controlled by the Democrats, and he was a senior. You know, he's like head of the committee, the chairman of the committee, and he was a senior member of the House of Representatives. So it was very likely it was going to pass. And our then president of the National Health Federation, Maureen Solomon, was trying her best to get in touch with Claude Pepper to convince him to withdraw the bill, but she could never. You know, they kept having the blockers to keep her from talking to him. And then finally, she decided, well, you know, a break is coming up. I forget which break, but a recess for the House, and he had to return to, or was going to return to, his home district. And so she found out from the secretary, and at that time, this information was much more readily available than it is now. But she found out what flight he was on and what seat he was going to get on in first class, of course. So she booked the first class seat next to his, and he rode all the way from D.C. down to Miami with him, and she talked his ear off, and lo and behold, he withdrew the bill, and
Wonderful.
it never went through. It's one of those sort of unspoken victories that NHF had that, you know, that people don't really know about. But at the time, certainly before the internet, that would have been a big deal to have blocked the, you know, that was
Yes.
before FedEx and UPS
Right.
shipments became really, you know, a big alternative. And so people would have been stopped from getting supplements through mail order, and it would have
I'd be
made them much
toast.
more. Yeah, so anyway, but that was a similar sort of battle that was fought back then, and we won it then. But now, you know, it's not that we can't win. Of course we can, but and we will. But it's a bit tougher now, and in some ways it's easier now. It just depends upon the way you look at it. But it is something that we have to keep fighting, and it's something where, you know, we need people to join us and to give us, I hate to say it with a handout, but donations, because, you know, we don't get to these Codex meetings without support and financial support. In fact, that committee meeting that we went to in April in China, the Pesticide Residue Committee, that was the first time we ever went to that committee meeting because we could never afford to go before. And yet,
Right.
that is the very committee meeting where we were the only, out of 220 or 30 delegates, we were the only ones speak out against glyphosate. The only ones. Not even the European Union
Wow.
did that. And
Wow.
we made our case against it, both in writing and verbally. And so we intend to keep going as long as the money holds out. But, you know, we hadn't been able to go before because we just simply didn't have the funds to cover all of the meetings. And yet, Codex is important because this is the global game, you know, that covers the globe. And
Right.
we can go fight in Washington or Brussels or Mexico City or Paris or, you know, Ottawa, Canada, or wherever it might be. But when the tar meets the road, the real game is played at the Codex level, and
Right.
that's where the global standards are being set. So we are really the only voice for health freedom at this level. And
Well, let's look at how the money works, because if you look at the average American family, they're paying 5,000 plus a year in federal taxes to an organization that is basically reducing their health freedoms
yes.
and taking them in a very anti-direction. So if you can afford to pay 5,000 for your, to basically pay the U.S. government to destroy you. The question is, can you afford to also spend some money to the people who are trying to stop the U.S. government from destroying you? And right, so
yeah,
it's a simple cash
right.
equation.
I mean, you're so good right. at this kind of logic, Catherine. I have to take my hat off to you. You're so good at that, and that's very well put.
Well, you know, our challenge is we're financing our own destruction right now. And our second quarter wrap-up, I'll send you a copy when we publish the hard copy, is how to enforce the U.S. Constitution. Because this all, the rubber meets the road, as you would say, where the money happens. So if we're, the biggest investment that basically most people in the country make is paying their federal taxes. And if that money is being spent with a negative return on investment to taxpayers, then we're financing our own destruction. And the majority of that money, in my opinion, is being spent outside the Constitution and outside of the law.
Right.
So the U.S. government, it's funny, I went to visit with the chief of staff to the Appropriation Committee that oversees HUD and Treasury in 2001. And they said to me, what do you think is going on at HUD? And I was trying to be discreet. It was someone I had never met before. I said, I don't know. What do you think is going on at HUD? And they said HUD is being run as a criminal enterprise. Well, HUD is run by a matrix structure of Department of Justice and the New York Fed member banks and the Treasury and the New York Fed member banks through the Treasury. So if HUD is being run as a criminal enterprise, the federal government is being run as a criminal enterprise, which it is. And so that's our financial challenge. How do we, you know, what you can't do is you can't give $5,000 plus a year to a criminal enterprise to destroy your freedoms and then think Scott Tipps can go stop it.
with donuts right. And change in his pocket. I know.
Right.
It's
so
true.
So our financial equation is how do we shift the money, you know, away from the criminal enterprise into the things that are protecting our freedoms, and ultimately how do we turn around, you know, how do we make sure the U.S. government's not a criminal enterprise? But let me keep going, because I just learned that you were in Italy giving, and you gave a speech on vaccines, and I would love,
right.
you know, that is such a, along with supplements, it's a very, very important health freedom issue. So maybe if you could just update us on what you're doing on vaccines.
Sure. The problem arose, as it had in California, by the way, had arisen in Italy, where they have four mandatory vaccines required for children up until late last month, at least, four that were required for children, for school children. And but you could opt out with a small penalty. And so even though it was not moral or not good to do it that way, at least there was an option to get out. Well, what happened is the health ministry, this Beatrice Lorenzen, declared an emergency and decided, oh, the people aren't getting vaccinated, their children vaccinated at the rates as before, and we have a measles epidemic, and, you know, the usual lies coming out from the government, as they always seem to. And so they create an emergency, and then they have a decree that was made, and the Senate voted for it, the Italian Senate. And there were demonstrations, though, that erupted throughout Italy, you know, from Rome to Genoa to down in the south, Naples and Venice, and then Trieste. And I went to the last rally, which was just this last weekend on Saturday, in Trieste, which, as you may recall, is the northern part of the Adriatic Sea, and just sort of more recently attached to Italy. But in any event, I went there. There was a crowd of about 2,000 people. It was a very well-organized rally and demonstration. In fact, no one's really been to a rally unless they've been to an Italian one, because these are just you know, very angry people, and mothers with their kids and young kids and the like. And I was one of several speakers, but I spoke for quite a period of time in English. Unfortunately, my translator was not very good and mistranslated some things, actually contradicted some of my English spoken words, and fortunately some of the more vigilant Italian speakers sort of jumped in and grabbed the microphone from her to correct it, but not all of what I said was corrected. But in any event, it was well received, and it's going, and it's already been posted online. And then I did a 2-minute interview, just a short one, with the demonstrators in the background for some media outfit. And then it's also been posted online at our Facebook page, the National Health Federation's Facebook page, and I think on our YouTube site as well. So anyone who's interested can go there and see the interview, both the long and short version, and the speech. And then the speech is being translated into Italian. And there's going to be another event at the beginning of September that I will probably go to as well. But anyway, the gist of it is, Catherine, that now they want to require 10 vaccines and a hefty penalty, all for school-age children whose immune systems are too immature to handle that. I mean, 4 was bad enough, but when you overwhelm an immature child's immune system with 10 vaccines, most of which they don't even arguably need, some people would argue they don't even need any of them, but in any event, it becomes really a travesty, and we see so many vaccine-injured children these days. I mean, these people are the health minister and the like. They're chimpanzees with machine guns. I mean, they're just really out of control, and they don't even have a reason to do it. It's just purely money. It's just money, 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 and that's what they are doing.
Let me go back to where we started, because I think what we're building up to globally is at least 5% of the people globally who are the kind of people inclined to act or do realize how bad things are. I mean, what I've said for many years, I'll say it again now, is if you follow up the food chain through the bureaucrats, through the corporations trying to make money, you reach a group of people who are clearly doing something very anti-human. They know exactly what they're doing, and it's intentional. Otherwise, the system would evolve in a healthier way. So this is not just about making money. This is not just about, we are looking at a force that has a strategic goal of debasing the human race. And you can, some people describe that as depopulation. Some describe it as just making us much easier to control. But you're talking about basically a series of restrictions on health freedom that are going to destroy our physical and intellectual capacity. I mean, we're talking about a slow-moving destruction of the human race, because when you basically give half or more of the kids autism, that's where you're going.
Absolutely, and that's what we see as well. And that's what we're fighting by doing this, and I think we will win. We have a lot of people behind us, and we're working with a lot of other groups and organizations, and they're very determined, and they're doing very well.
Well, the challenge I've had for 20 years, you know, when I first started to do this, was it was very hard for that 5 or 10% of the population who, you know, they have the education, they have the resources, they have the capacity to act, and with real power, particularly when they organize. They just couldn't fathom that the agenda of, you know, I describe it as Mr. Global, the committee that runs the world. They could not fathom that Mr. Global was that clearly and intentionally anti-human. And what I'm starting to see for the last 6 months to a year is it's starting to dawn on them. Yes, it's this insane. It's that nuts. Right. And what I'm hoping is, as people start to understand, okay, it's that nuts, you know, and now we've got to stop it. So what do we do? Right. It sounds to me, your description of Italy is, you know, that 5% is coming together and saying, okay, it's
they
that
really
nuts.
Are.
Right.
Yes, they really are. Real quickly, my battery is telling me my phone may die on us, so if we get cut off, that's the only reason. But I'm not hanging
if we
up
get
on
cut
it.
off, can you recharge and call back in 5 minutes?
Yes, I sure can. Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, so how any thoughts you have on how that 5% starts to really get traction on health freedom?
Well, we probably will launch a number of lawsuits, both some in international, some against the actors personally, because we've found that if some bureaucrat or officials' personal assets are on the line, they're less apt to take actions against you. You know, in the U.S., you have Title 42, and you can use that against anyone who deprives you of your civil rights. And you can go against their bank account, their car, their house, everything, and you bring it in federal court, which is still, you know, their territory usually, unless it's a state official. But in any event, you can use that. So we're looking into that for Italy. We're also looking into the International Tribunal on Human Rights, bring an action there to force Italy to, because basically this decree, which the president of Italy still hasn't signed into law just yet, he should have done it yesterday or the day before, but he still hasn't done it as of the moment I'm speaking to you. But it violates at least 6 or 7 international laws. It violates the right to basic informed consent. You know, if someone's forced to get a vaccine, then they haven't given their consent. So it violates that, and certainly the informed consent. And it also violates about 3 or 4 articles in the Italian Constitution. So there's all sorts of good grounds to win this thing. So I'm actually quite hopeful that we can win it. And the reason to win in Italy is not only to help Italian children, but also it's the camel's nose in the tent for what's going on or elsewhere in Europe and around the world. And if we stop it here and we show enough concerted effort here in Italy or there in Italy, then they may think twice before they bring it in other countries. So that's why we're doing it. And the game plan is mainly legal action and equitable action against these mal players.
Before we end, I just want to touch another article in this month's news is the Bill Sardi's article on fake news. And the fake news on supplements is just mind-boggling.
Yes,
so maybe if you could just touch on
sure.
Because part of turning this around is dealing with the fake news and the fake science, you know, which unfortunately dovetail and feed each other.
Yes, it is. They usually have it as a 1-2 punch, and they will launch the propaganda campaign first, and then they tag team it with a legislative action that's all prepared, the bill, miraculously, you know, 150 pages, 1,000 pages even, and it's all prepared and ready to be introduced and passed, and even without reading, because, of course, we all know from the news how bad supplements are. But dietary supplements are really safer than tap water, aspirin, table salt, and even food. And the Poison Control Centers has even issued statistics that show how incredibly safe supplements are. And yet, everywhere you read, you hear about how they are unregulated, how they are dangerous, and the like. And yet, you're more likely to die from a bee sting or a lightning strike or falling off a horse than you are from taking a supplement.
It's
that safe a product. And yet this is where the government wants to spend billions and billions of your tax dollars and our dollars to make these products safer, when they should be focusing on the really dangerous products, if they're going to focus on anything, and that is the drugs and the vaccines that are incredibly unsafe and yet are touted as being safe products when they absolutely are not.
See, I think the most dangerous product is fake news and mind control, because that's what is getting everybody going along with spending a fortune on things that are hurting them.
It anyway, is, and yeah. On top of that, it persuades people to forego taking things that are good for them, too.
Right.
So it not only pulls them in the direction of bad products, but it pulls them away from good products that could really help them live a healthier and higher quality life, even up to the very end.
Right. It's frightening because I deal a lot with financial fraud, and you see people burnt by financial fraud again and again and again, and then you drive, I was just out in California, driving around Marin County and San Francisco, and everybody is banking at the same banks that just finished defrauding millions of Americans, and you think, how can you possibly feel that you're safe in this bank? I mean, you're, I don't get it. It's kind of like a codependency, but I think a lot of it comes from the fake news and the mind control, so...
Yeah.
Okay, well, tell
us
what's...
Right. That's one of the dangerous, most dangerous products.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So tell us what's next for Scott Tips and NHF.
Well, we are building up our... Through all this exposure that we've had of late, we're increasing our membership, and we have... we will plow back into the Italian anti-vaccine campaign that has just erupted, and we plan to have bigger exposure on the internet. You know, our website was finally recreated after it had been hacked a couple of years ago and still was damaged. Someone deleted our directory, deleted our all our articles, deleted our blog site, all of that. And I guess we were too much of a threat. So in any event, so our goal is to both increase income and membership so that we can participate in more of these Codex meetings and have more of an impact there, and at the same time have an impact on the vaccine issues, go back to Washington, deal with the some of the issues that are coming up there, that could come up there. We need to make sure that supplements are not attacked any further than they have been. You know, a lot of times of late, it's been FTC actions. It's been the FDA taking actions against individual supplement companies that then cuts off our supply to our, you know, consumer members of the products that they know and trust and that they like and they want to buy. So, you know, it's generally that. It's educating the public as well. And I'm sure I'm missing something there, but...
Have there ever been any legal efforts in any of these forums to address mind control and what's being done to the population using entrainment technology?
Not in legal forums, but just educationally, yes, you know.
Right.
Like you, I've written about the Wikipedia's manufactured consent. I've written on other things about the fake, other articles about the fake news that's been out there when I give speeches, and I give a lot of them, and we have a couple of events going on that will take place in the UK in September next month, and so we really beat on that drum a lot to get people aware that they're being propagandized and that they need to be aware that this is fake news. I mean, even some people who think that Fox News is so great, you know, I just saw, you know, a piece on Fox News, and I don't usually even watch Fox News, but I happened to see a bit yesterday where there is a big, you know, propaganda piece about all the, you know, immigrants coming in and how much they contribute to society. And I was very surprised, you know, in Italy, and I was very surprised to see that on Fox News. But there it was. So, You know, one thing we have to do and is to really distrust and guard against, really, the capture of even trusted news sites.
Right.
To see them turn. You know, I see even on the Drudge Report, I'm seeing, and it's making me a little curious about it, more and more they are linking or showing, you know how they do links on there and then you click on it to read the full article. They just have a little segment of the title there. And they take us to trash news sites. You know, they aren't taking
right.
us to good news sites. They're taking us to the Washington Post or the New York Times or the LA Slime, you know, something like
right.
that. And they aren't taking us to, you know, any news that we can trust. So why is Drudge doing that? So I think
right.
all of us have to guard against, you know, the websites or the news sources that we trusted in the past. We have to be careful that they aren't captured and
right.
converted.
Although it's interesting, I will sometimes, I very, very rarely, but sometimes I will link to the Post or the Times. I mean, occasionally you'll get a good article that's, you know, they have amazing resources.
Yes.
And so occasionally I will see an article that I think is either credible or I think it's an example. It's a good example of the fake news happening around. It's usually a political issue. So
yeah, and
I don't
I
use
admit
them much,
that.
But,
I mean, there
yeah.
are some there are some good ones in the Washington Post, even though it's nothing but a CIA mouthpiece.
Right.
But at the ones I'm talking about are ones where they give this
right.
fake news point of view. It's not even
right.
like something neutral. It's like, why am I reading what Nancy Pelosi believes is the reason for something? I mean,
right.
I could read that by just being on the DNC email
well,
list,
there's no
which
doubt
I
the,
am.
The,
and
the simplest way to save, but, you know, save time and money is to just turn all that stuff off and ignore it completely.
It is.
So,
well,
yeah.
speaking of which, I tried to unsubscribe from the DNC email list. Impossible. They don't allow you to unsubscribe. So don't get on the Democratic National
They probably
Committee
think you're Russian.
Email list. Yeah, they probably do. You'll never get off. And believe me, I've tried, short of suing them, which may be the next and final step to and do a class action lawsuit against them because it's actually illegal what they're doing. But then when did legality ever stop them? So... In any event, you're absolutely right about the fake news and how to stop that. If we can stop that, that helps address a lot of our problems.
It's very easy how you stop it. And that every time, if the 5% that we're discussing, if you take that 5 to 10% and they simply delete them, they just say, you know something, we don't care what you say. We're not going to listen. We're not going to subscribe. We're not going to read. We're just going to completely... You know, shunning is the most powerful political tool in the world, particularly if you're shunning with your consumer or investment dollars. So
right.
that's why I keep
and
telling
that's
somebody.
Actually what,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do. I mean, I do that to Wikipedia, and I do that to the Washington Post and the others. So, but you're right, and we need a critical mass, though, to do that. And then,
right.
and then we'll be ahead of the game. So,
I have to talk to you about Wikipedia because I continue to use it. But not for another day, not a conversation today. So I just
okay.
want to tell you that you are living proof of what amazing things can be accomplished if you refuse to give up. And
thank
I really
you
think
for that.
if you look at all the people now realizing how anti-human the agenda is. And the extent to which we have all sorts of documentary makers and other efforts swarming in, you know, something is starting to gather. And, of course, it's got to be global. And one of the great powers of NHF is you've got a real global presence. And so I just think, you know, I think now's the time to make a really major turn here because... if we let this happen, if we let them go to anti-human, you know, we are talking about losing everything.
Yes, we are.
Right.
We really are. And that is the bottom line. So thank you for that. You know.
Okay, well, tell us how, just help, just give us a minute and tell us how people can find your website and sign up to be an NHF member and get Health Freedom News.
It's super easy, and it's something everyone should do because it's really something that pays dividends down the line. It's sort of like making an investment or paying an insurance policy that then you need at some point, and that is go to our website, www.thenhfnh.com, and go click on the sign up for the free e-list. Do that, and that's how you learn about what we do. We don't spam you. You probably won't even get but one email a month, if even that. And at the same time, join, become a member, and you get the magazine if you join. And that's what you were talking about in the beginning, Catherine, and I'm glad so much that you like the magazine. It's done by a fabulous graphic designer Ben,
who does our wrap-ups.
Yes. And in any event, the other thing is, quite honestly, if you don't want to join, although I can't imagine why not, but at least donate. Donate to us, because that's what keeps us in the field, protecting people's health. And that's really it. We don't get big bucks from corporations. Big corporations are, we don't get money from the government. We don't get special grants or things like that. We depend on your listeners and people like your listeners to give anything from $3. We've literally had $3 bills emptied out of an envelope from an elderly woman's last, money out of her Social Security check to, people sending us checks or calling the office and giving credit card information or whatever, but we really need people's support because that's what keeps us going. And quite honestly, right now, with all these meetings and things that we've done, we've drained the kitty, and we need some people to step up and really help us if we're to keep going and to keep growing. And so it's really important. It's important insurance, and it's important kind of dues to pay to keep from, hate to put it that way in a way, but to pay for, stopping this juggernaut, and as you so well put it, anti-human juggernaut. So,
well, if you look at how much everybody listening to this call is putting into the anti-human pocket, it's a lot, so we need to rebalance our own budgets first.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Scott, have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for joining us, and I'm just sending so many prayers for all your efforts
Thank
on Codex
you.
And all these other efforts. So,
well,
I think
them,
I think health freedom is number one. So
it really is, and I so appreciate your support, Catherine, not only now but over the years. So. Thank you. And in fact, that's one reason we wanted to feature you on the cover of our magazine.
Oh, that's right. You did. Yeah.
Yes. You look good.
I really appreciate that.
And it brought a lot of, thank you. And it brought a lot of positive feedback as well. So
good.
Anyway,
good.
Thank you. For everything.
Okay. Thanks, Scott. Have
All
a great
right.
day.
Thank you, Kath. You too. Bye for now.